Welcome to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. Today is Tuesday, August 22nd, and this is a weekly look around the Jags organization. And there's a lot going on around the Jags organization, on the football side at least. Quarterback competition trumps it all, and we'll take a listen back to the aftermath of last week's preseason Week 2 game against Tampa Bay and how things have progressed in the last few days. We'll catch up with Jaguars defensive tackle Malik Jackson to see how camp has gone so far, a preview of Thursday night's interview on the Publix Tailgate Show. And we'll catch up with Jaguars ESPN reporter Mike DiRocco for a recap of how this week has developed heading into preseason week 3. But first, some news from around the Jags organization. And quarterback has been the talk of the town, of course, and we will get to all of that. But let's start this week with some other news around the team. Yes, there are some other positions on this Jaguars group. The health of the Jaguars could be improving. A few players are working their way back into the practice field this week. Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Colvin among those at corner. Leonard Fournette, the rookie running back, is coming back from a foot and toe injury.
You know, I didn't know what it was. I never had like a foot or a toe injury or nothing like that. So just rehabbing each and every day, you know, staying in shape, keeping my weight down, and getting ready to come back. Coach Marone, Coach Tom, I mean, they're explaining a lot to us, you know, as far as the players from the preseason to the regular season, and doing a great job.
Wide receiver Marquise Lee is down for a little bit of time with an ankle injury, but he's confident he could be ready for the Texans.
For the first time it actually happened, everything did flash by. As I sat there, my whole time just thinking was, when the pain going to go away? And once it went away, I was fine. Wasn't able to walk at that time, but as soon as I got back in the locker room, I was allowed to actually put pressure on it. I'm pretty confident I'd be fine. I can't make a move without the trainers and the coaches. It's a decision, but I'm going to go ahead and jump ahead. I think I'd be fine by game one, doing everything possible to be ready by game one. So that's all I really can control, so I'm just going to do that.
Early this week, Doug Marone was asked which players would be ruled out of Thursday night's game against Carolina, and quite a few are already.
Just real quick, on the five guys who are on the side, Lee, Boye, Yeldon, Fournette, Rivera, any of those guys have a chance to play Thursday night?
Let's go down one by one.
Lee.
Okay, Lee, I'm not going to take that chance.
Boye.
Nope, not going to
Yeldon.
Take. Nope.
Fournette.
Nope.
Rivera.
No.
Okay.
No Jalen Ramsey on that list. That's the good news. We could see him in a limited capacity this week against Carolina. Let's move to the defensive side of the ball. The Jaguars defense gave up 3 scoring drives by the Buccaneers first team offense last week. Earlier this week, we caught up with Malik Jackson and compared this year's training camp to his past.
To be honest with you, this camp was definitely the hardest camp I've ever been a part of, just physically. But I feel great right now. You know what I'm saying? Coach has done a great job getting our bodies back. You know, as players, you don't exactly always see the end of the tunnel. You know, you just see day by day by day. But, you know, now that we've reached this point and, you know, I don't regret doing anything that we did in camp. You know, guys are stronger mentally and physically. And, you know, we kept pushing our boundaries, and that's what this game's all about, and that's what Coach Marone's all about.
Hear the complete Malik Jackson interview coming up Thursday night on the Publix Tailgate Show. That's ahead of the preseason Week 3 game against the Carolina Panthers. Now we get to the quarterback. We'll flash back to Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars radio network. Jeff Lagerman always has the first word with the head coach, but after taking a little longer than normal to get to Logs, there were 2 questions, and Lagerman described that postgame scene on Jaguars All Access Television Monday night on CBS 47.
You know, after the game, you know, do the radio broadcast, go downstairs, and then I wait to interview the head coach after the game. And head coach Doug Marone was taking some time. And he said, look, you know, I just got to do a few things. I got to talk to a couple people. Can you just have a little patience with me? And I said, of course, you're the head coach. And after he had some conversations with people, I guess, I go to interview him and talk to him in his office. And I asked how the game went. And of course, he wasn't very pleased. And I asked him the question, can you evaluate your quarterbacks?
Well, here's what I'm looking for at quarterback, plain and simple. I'm looking for someone that's going to lead this offense, okay? So we're going to go into this thing. We're going to look at it, and whether it's opened up or not, I got to figure out who the best person is to lead this offense. And, you know, that's not only a quarterback now. And when you say that at quarterback, I think it's going to wake everybody else up and know, hey, listen, if he's going to do that at the quarterback position, hey, I better watch my butt because he can do that at any position. And that's the message this team has to understand.
I was floored. I wasn't expecting that, not in a second preseason game when all offseason long they talked about how Blake Bortles was going to be their guy.
In the locker room, the quarterbacks had their perspectives on how everything went down. Fourth-year quarterback Blake Bortles.
Whether you say it or not, I think at any position in the NFL, it's an open competition every single day. If there's a guy better than you that's not playing, he's going to play. And I think you have to go earn the right to start at your position at any level. I'll approach it the same way. I'll treat tomorrow as I treated yesterday and as I treated today. You know, I don't think anything changes, you know, from my mindset or anything there. You know, I think it's still, you know, my job to go out and earn the respect and trust of those guys as well as the coaching staff. And that's, you know, kind of what I'm on a mission to do.
10th-year quarterback Chad Henne.
I think I just go about your business. I mean, you know, just prepare each and every day, try to get better each and every day, and really just, you know, try to lead this team as best as we can. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how the conversation's going to end up, but, you know, sad to say I've been in this situation on either side, and I know how it is, and, you know, nothing's been said, so we just got to go about handle our business. He's got to, you know, play better. I have to play better.
Marone has said repeatedly that he will not make a decision quickly. He'll let things play out. And he might not even let the quarterbacks know until Wednesday night.
I have a plan in my mind. I haven't talked to the quarterbacks about that plan yet. I'm just going to see how the practices go. We've got another big day tomorrow, you know, good day. You know, both of them are doing, you know, fine. So, like I said, I feel like I have a very good plan for myself. And then I'll make the quarterbacks aware of it when we get closer to the game. But, again, I don't want to discuss it because I haven't discussed it with them. And, plus, I still got another practice. So, you know, I'm going to make sure I tell the quarterbacks and what I feel is a good amount of time, you know what I'm saying, to get themselves prepared. So it'll probably be, you know, when we're at the hotel, you know, the night before the game. I just want to get all the information. I want to make sure I'm comfortable with which direction I'm going. I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm doing the best for the team. And like I said, I've already, you know, written a couple scenarios down. I feel good about one of them. So I have a lot of good reasoning for it. So I'm going to see where it goes.
Jaguars Monday Radio chimed in on it Monday evening. Tony Boselli and Pete Prisco had more perspective.
It's not all bad. We tend to say everything's bad with Blake just because everyone's so frustrated. It's not. But it's inconsistent.
But they asked. Here's the problem, okay? They asked Doug, well, has there been anything good that he's done? Well, yeah, he hasn't turned the ball over. That itself tells you all you need to know about what they want from their quarterback. They just don't want him to turn the ball over.
Yeah, what did he say? He has not turned the ball over, and he moves well.
What does that mean? What the hell does that mean?
I think what it means is
that Chad Henne's going to play.
Well, I think it is.
But I don't know how you're both going to play with the ones this week. You're trying to leave yourself an out in case Henne goes out and stinks?
No, I think they split the first half or first three quarters. I think they play three quarters as a one unit, and they get half the reps each.
What happens if Henne stinks bad? And Blake plays better.
Well, then I think Blake will win. I think he's
so probably, the job's not done then. It's still open.
I don't think it's done. But if I'm asking to lay some odds on where this thing's going to end up, I think it's, you know, the coming down the stretch, if it was a horse race, Henny's leading.
Right.
That's my estimate.
Should he be?
Should he be? That's a great question.
Hey, I'm usually good for those.
I think you look at – all you can do is evaluate what you've seen on the field so far during training camp and the preseason games, and I think Chad's been more consistent.
He's been better.
So if you're looking at it just that, yes. But we all also have to be realistic, and I said this morning, what Chad Henne is. I mean, Chad Henne, number one, is older. He's not mobile. He's not super athletic.
He's captain check down.
He's going to sit in the pocket. He's very smart.
He's captain check
down. He's going to nowhere down to the ball, and he's not going to take a lot of risks.
He's captain check down.
That's my point.
Why don't we use my phrase? I like my phrase.
We'll use your phrase all you want. And so if things break down, the one thing that – let's give Blake credit for. When things break down, he's pretty good at improvising and making things happen. And if the offensive line doesn't play better and they did not play well Thursday night, could you make an argument that you're better with – Blake back there because you need somebody who can move around, move the pocket, and do different things. Because I don't think that's Chad.
Check out Jaguars Monday Radio each week at 6 o'clock on 1010XL Radio, Jaguars.com, the Jaguars app, and Jaguars social media channels. ESPN Jaguars reporter Mike DiRocco has a few thoughts on this matter, I'm sure. Michael, how are you?
I'm good, JP. Just a few thoughts. I don't like to clutter up my head with anything more than a few thoughts, so...
There's a lot to think about this week, too. After it all went down after the game last Thursday night, Jeff Lagerman described it on television Monday night that he was just amazed at the answer in the postgame locker room from Doug Marone that the quarterback position's open all of a sudden, and all he could say was, thanks, Doug, and then moved on from there. And the story was on like wildfire after that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a dismal performance by Blake. Maybe I shouldn't say dismal. Disappointing performance by Blake. And you know, it's not an ideal situation. I know why Jeff was surprised. I mean, it's the third preseason game. We've got basically 3 weeks until the regular season opener, and now you're opening up the quarterback competition. And you know, whether it's a true legitimate competition or whether they're really trying to light a fire under Blake, you know, either way, it's awful late in the game to be starting that, you know. And I wrote before that I thought that this team fumbled by not bringing in maybe – if they feel this way now, you can't tell me that there wasn't a semblance of this thought earlier in the offseason and that maybe they should have – they probably should have brought in some competition.
There's a little bit of a feel now that Henny's got the momentum going into this week. I don't know if Doug's going to show his cards that early. We might not know until they run out on the field on game night, Thursday night, who takes the first snap. But I don't even know at that point if it really means anything, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going to probably, I would assume, if it's true legitimate competition, and Doug said they've split the reps 50-50 during the week, that they're both probably going to get a pre-equal opportunity to work with that first team offense. And you know, it's a third preseason game, so the starters generally play first half, maybe even into the third quarter. So we'll probably see each of those guys for a quarter. And then at that point, there's another week of practice for them to evaluate. I don't anticipate, like, to me, just because, let's say, Henny starts this game this week, I don't necessarily think that means he's going to start the season opener. And vice versa with Blake.
Mike DiRocco with us. If Blake is not the guy, is he around? Is he still on the roster opening day as the backup if he is not the starting quarterback? That's a big question here.
Yeah, well, and there's a lot of thought to that because they picked up the fifth-year option, $19.05 million, guaranteed for injury only, though, JP. As you know, if he's got to pass a physical beginning of March, and if he passes the physical, then boom, everything's fine. So if you keep him on the roster and you're forced to play him, say, October, November, Henny gets hurt or Henny's just ineffective, and then he gets hurt and he doesn't pass the physical, you're on the hook for the $19 million. So they have to weigh that. Now, the flip side of that is, okay, if you get rid of Bortles, then what you're left with is Brandon Allen, who they clearly are not enamored with because he's not even a part of this competition, or you're bringing in one of the guys that gets cut in that final list of 90 when they trim from 90 to 53, and either way, it's probably less than ideal. So my guess is I would guess they probably keep him around. And then if it gets to the point in the season where, you know, it's over, you know what I mean? Then they probably don't allow him back on the field after that. But, you know, I can see the argument, again, for cutting him too as well. And you know what? Maybe cutting him is good for Blake. Gives him a chance to get a fresh start somewhere. You know, change of scenery sometimes does some people good.
Good for Blake, but is it good for the Jaguars? Well, that's the other perspective too, right?
Well, I mean, if you take Blake off the field, there's a thought that you can't go back to him. And I kind of agree with that. If you're taking him off the field and saying, we're going with Chad, you've been our starter for 3 years, you were the guy that we thought was a franchise quarterback, and now you're not, you were going with Chad, then there's a thought that you've lost him and you can't go back to him. And I think Blake's a smart kid, a tough kid. But that might be something too tough to overcome. So maybe, you know, maybe there's a benefit to the team too. Because if you have to play him after you've already told him you're not our guy, we've seen how he's played when he is the guy. So what are you going to get? It's a tough situation. And honestly, it's really a situation they shouldn't be in, like we talked about before. They should have a better plan for what they're doing at this point.
Mike DiRocco with us from ESPN. There are some other things going on around the Jaguars. Believe it or not,
no,
Mike.
No,
well, actually, no. This is big one, and then everything else is a little lower. But is this team getting healthier? It seems like that's starting to be the case. We might not see many of the big-time guys that were nicked up the last couple of weeks, even this week. But they're all getting ready for week one. The corners are going to be back, it sounds like, at some point. Fournette seems to think it's not that big of a deal. Marquise Lee even said he's confident he's going to play week one after they carted him off the field last week. So is it as bad as it seems on the health front?
No, actually, I think it's pretty good. I mean, Fournette, like you said, Fournette, Boye, Lee are not playing this week. I wouldn't expect to see much of Jalen Ramsey this week if he plays, but it looks like to me Doug is kind of eased back a little bit on the physical workload. They were in the IPF, what, twice over the weekend. Today they're not even in full pads. So it looks like you know, several players in that locker room after the game, the Tampa Bay game, said, look, we're a little Jew. They had more juice. We're a little gassed here. It's been a physical, tough camp. So maybe Doug has kind of eased back a little bit, and that'll help with the injury front there as well, too. I mean, you're almost in a game week preparation mode anyway, even though it's not regular season, because all the games are the same day. So you kind of get into a little bit of rhythm, so he's easing back a little bit. The health of this team, to be honest with you, is a lot better than I expected it to be. When we were talking a month ago about them going five consecutive days in full pads and then dual practice with the Patriots and the Bucks. So I think if you're the Jags, you have to be happy with the state of the health of this team. There's nobody out for the year, and it looks like the key guys are going to be back for the opener.
Mike, if you look on Twitter, social media these days around the Jaguars, there are some perspectives on there that this team is not going to do so well, and even worse than first predicted, at least the start of the year, with everything that's happened over the last week or two. Are you buying it? I know you're on social media a good bit and sometimes take some heat. We all do on social media for Jaguars perspectives, but what's your analysis, I guess, on where the fan base is right now for the Jaguars?
Way to put me on the spot. Let's see. There's a very big ledge. And there's a lot of people standing on the ledge, and there's a lot of people behind those people waiting to stand on the ledge, some people getting ready to shove. I think the quarterback situation and the quarterback competition, the second week of preseason, and what we've seen from Blake, this thing has really kind of made everybody, I don't want to say lose their mind, but made them certainly upset. And they should be, and we talked about it before. I get that they're not as maybe optimistic as they were at the beginning of the training camp, especially when we saw what the defense looked like against the Bucks. But, you know, we tend to overreact to things. And fans, media, we do it all the time as well. So I would just say, hey, let's see how it plays out against the Panthers, and then we'll see what it looks like against Houston. And then maybe you can start panicking and, you know, after the Tennessee game if you have to. But I think at this point, probably just need to relax, take a deep breath, and let's see how things go. But yeah, they're all on the ledge, ready to jump.
D-Rock, it's always good to see you, and I appreciate your time, man, as always.
Thank you, JP. I appreciate it.
Plenty coming up this week. The preseason week 3 game is coming up Thursday night, and a tour of the NFC South continues. The Carolina Panthers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's a 7:30 kickoff at Everbank Field in the dress rehearsal game. But it feels like a lot more than that for the Jags with a quarterback position up in the air. Tickets available at jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. Tune in Thursday night for the Publix Tailgate Show. You'll hear that full interview with defensive tackle Malik Jackson and much more, including in-depth commentary about the state of the quarterback position and what to watch for in Thursday night's game, other than the quarterback, maybe. That airs Thursday at 4:30, followed by Countdown to Kickoff. That's at 6:30 on the entire Jaguars radio network. And all radio shows are streamed on Jaguars.com, the Jags app, and Jaguars social channels. Our thanks to ESPN Jaguars reporter Mike DiRocco, and thanks to you for listening to the JP Shadrick podcast.